This is an audio summary for your IP 8999 course. The reading is Focus Strategy, Chapter 4 of Recreate the Organization You Really Want by John R. Latham, published in 2016. Having covered stakeholder value and the compelling directive, Latham now turns to strategy, the credible, actionable path that translates mission and vision into goals, measures, initiatives, and accountable sponsors. Here is the summary. The chapter opens with the question, how will you accomplish the compelling directive? The mission and vision inform strategy development, and the resulting goals and objectives direct all plans and activities toward the vision. Latham reminds us of the change dynamic from Chapter 1. The tension between dissatisfaction with the status quo and a compelling vision produces paralysis, not movement, if there is no credible, understandable path to the new vision. Everyone may want to create value for multiple stakeholders, but few organizations succeed. Most work within their current system, allocating resources through trade-offs, trading employee benefits against investor profit, assuming a zero-sum game, and limiting themselves to an inferior menu of options, such as low cost versus differentiation. Latham calls this a false choice. Escaping it requires curiosity, a systems perspective, and creativity. Leading a transformation to sustainable excellence is, at its core, a strategy development and deployment process, and a complete strategy answers two basic questions. First, what is the strategy to serve external customers and compete? Second, what is the strategy to develop the organization itself so it can serve all the stakeholders and compete? The central design challenge is a strategy that creates win-win arrangements for all six stakeholder groups. Latham also flags a design tension. There is no strategy process where you simply turn the crank and out comes a winning plan. Strategy development is inherently creative, so the process needs just enough structure to facilitate group creativity and no more. The basic process has three parts: inputs of information and data, analysis of the external and internal environment, and outputs in the form of goals, measures, initiatives, and sponsors. Start with inputs. While many for-profit strategy processes begin with a market-focused environmental scan, a multi-stakeholder strategy requires an expanded scan, and the compelling directive provides the parameters that keep that scan from becoming overwhelming. The needs of each stakeholder group and segment set performance standards. The scorecard measures performance against those standards and against comparisons, clarifying both what is possible and how well competitors are doing. Results from organizational performance reviews and organizational assessments reveal the internal changes needed, and there is often a direct connection between assessments and redesign initiatives. Economic, societal, and environmental scans complete the picture. The analysis then proceeds in layers. Using the compelling directive as a lens, it begins with external customers and the competitive market. What are the opportunities and challenges, and how will we compete? These are the central questions of strategy. Latham notes a useful continuum. Government organizations are mandate-driven, with strategy determining how best to accomplish a funded mandate. For-profit organizations are opportunity-driven, choosing their mission and chasing market opportunities. Nonprofits usually sit in between. Next, the analysis moves inside to the value chain of products and services, operations, and suppliers and partners, working backward from outputs. Analyze the products and services first, then their design, development, and delivery, then the operations and supplier inputs, and finally the support systems that enable everything else, asking at each stage what improvements the overall strategy requires. The third layer is people and culture, because a value chain does not exist without people working together to execute it. What are the workforce's capabilities and capacity? What are the culture's norms and values, and how well do they support the value chain and strategy? The final layer covers society and the environment. Trying to address every societal issue would be overwhelming, so the organization should focus on what it can control or influence through its own products, services, and operations. Bolt-on corporate social responsibility programs are progress, but the next step is full integration into the strategy process. For the natural environment specifically, three areas matter: the sources of energy and materials, how they are used, and what waste is produced, with corresponding options to change the sources and supply chain, the value chain's usage, or the waste produced, applied across the whole value chain. That brings us to outputs. Building on the compelling directive, a basic strategy is composed of four key elements. First, goals and objectives. The specific path to the mission and vision, covering both the external, market-driven offerings and the internal capability building. Second, measures. How we will know we are making progress and when we have arrived, with both long-term and short-term targets. Third, action plans, the strategic initiatives and projects that achieve the milestones. Fourth, sponsors, a named leader responsible for each goal and initiative. Time horizons vary with context. Aerospace firms may plan 10 or more years out, while a high-tech firm may realistically plan only 5 years with 18-month product goals. A collection of goals is not a strategy unless they collectively describe how the organization will compete and how it will be developed to compete. A visual depiction of their interrelationships, in the spirit of Kaplan and Norton's strategy map, helps leaders both express and develop that logic. Effective goals are measurable, actionable, and manageable. Specific enough to define success tangibly, measurable so progress can be tracked and compared, translatable into action plans with clear deliverables, clear enough to provide a redesign brief for each initiative, honestly doable so people believe in them, and tied to a specific completion time. Measures and targets put numbers on the goals, for example, a 10% increase in sales, or improving the share of customers rating service in the top two survey categories from 80 to 90%, with intermediate targets at perhaps 90 days or 1 year for longer-term goals. Initiatives are where ambition meets capacity, and leaders' ambitions often exceed their capacity to execute. LATHAM's discipline is the standardized initiative proposal, which makes initiatives comparable and allows prioritization. A complete proposal has 5 sections. First, description and objectives. A title, a point of contact, a short who, what, where, when, why, how description, and an explicit link to the strategic goals. Second, scope. What the project is and what it is not, the functions and regions involved, and the dependencies in both directions with other projects. Third, deliverables, tasks, and schedule, with each task's description, dependencies, workload, people, and completion date. Major milestones should fall within 90 days of the previous one to encourage steady progress. Fourth, roles, responsibilities, and resources, with workloads expressed in full-time equivalents for comparability, plus operating and capital expenses. Fifth, evaluation. A self-assessment of strategy impact, stakeholder impact across all 6 groups, cost, cost savings, revenue change, risk severity, and risk probability. The resulting selection matrix supports prioritization, but LATHAM warns against turning it into pure math. The numbers are never accurate or complete enough to decide for you, and the matrix's real value is facilitating the strategy team's dialogue and decisions. The fourth output, executive sponsorship, gets special emphasis. Without a senior executive sponsor with sufficient resources and influence, an initiative will not be a priority for anyone else. And while shared sponsorship is tempting, when 2 people are responsible, no one is responsible. Assign 1 senior executive as the main sponsor for each goal or initiative. Strategy then aligns and integrates with the rest of the leadership system. It addresses stakeholder segment needs, translates the compelling directive into goals for today's mission and tomorrow's vision, informs workforce development, drives the scope of redesign initiatives, feeds the comprehensive scorecard, anchors the performance review, defines which behaviors to reinforce, and is itself refined by learning. As organization architect, the leader's job is focus. Pursuing a few key initiatives at a time and saying no, or at least not yet, to good ideas, because trying to do everything means doing nothing. Goals should be high but realistic, calibrated through collaborative development with stakeholders, since unrealistic goals undermine quality and invite ethical dilemmas. Communication is essential but is not deployment. Follow-up, personal involvement, progress review, and reinforcement are what implement strategy. LATHAM closes by quoting the strategist Helmuth von Moltke. No battle plan survives contact with the enemy. Strategy today is an ongoing conversation in which projects are added, adjusted, and abandoned as the year unfolds, and the resulting strategy is an untested hypothesis to be proven through workforce engagement and system redesign. For your organizational assessment work, this chapter offers a practical test. Examine whether an organization's goals form a coherent, measurable system tied to stakeholder needs, and whether each strategic initiative has a real sponsor, real resources, and a credible path from action to result. That is the end of the summary.